rendition. Thank you so much, all of you who have sang and led us this morning. I'd like to invite you into the New Testament, into Scripture. It comes from the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 14. We're going to begin at verse 15 and continue through verse 24. I'm going to read from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. It's the updated edition. But I invite you to follow along in your favorite translation. You'll find one that's projected too, if you'd like to follow along that way. It's the story that I was sharing with the children this morning. Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 15. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. And at the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who have been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. And the first one said, 'Well, I've bought a piece of land, and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' And another person said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please, please accept my regrets.' And another said, 'I've just been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported all of this to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and into the lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you have ordered has been done, and there is still room.' And then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and the lanes and compel people to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you that none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.' It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you. We thank you so much, Lord, that we have heard an invitation that you have spoke into our lives and into our hearts, and Lord, that you have met us where we are and you have invited us to come into your house. Lord, we consider it a blessing to be in your house this morning, and we pray and ask that as our hearts meditate upon your words, Lord, that you may bring life to these words. Lord, I thank you for all the words that you have spoken into my heart. I thank you for the words that you have given to me, and I pray that as I speak this morning, that these words will be pleasing to you, acceptable in your sight, and Lord, that together your Holy Spirit may move us. We pray and we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. I invited you all last week, last week to try an experiment for 2 weeks to write down write it down, capture it in a note, do it however you've done, but to write down something, 3 things at least, of things that you're thankful for every single day for 2 weeks. And so why these 3 things? Why 3 things every single day? Well, it's because there's this significant body of research that shows that when we are grateful and writing it down consistently for 2 weeks, that we'll experience more happiness in our lives. And generally, the research that I'm relying on, it's Robert Edmonds, does this work. University of California at Davis has done a great deal of work on gratitude and says that as we do this for over 2 weeks, that it begins to change. It begins to change the way that we feel, begins to change the way that we think, and begins to change just those places. Well, as the Apostle Paul reminds us, the Apostle Paul will remind us that to let our minds be renewed by God's presence. This is actually what even some hardcore researchers will say happens to us as we experience gratitude in our lives. So that's what I ask you to do. So I want to share. One from yesterday, one that I wrote down yesterday. And I wrote down that I am grateful for sharing a meal with 2 people that I've never met before. And in that meal, over that meal, shattering a myth about what church is. Now, that's a lot, right? That's a lot to say that, you know, in this meal with a couple of strangers, that there was this myth about what a church is that was shattered. Well, all of you know it. Everybody that's in this space already knows it. Maybe some of you who are watching online that are capturing this online, you know about this. But it is one of the ways that we do things here at Grace Point is that we do have a Thanksgiving meal that we invite our neighborhood, we invite our community to be a part of. And that happened yesterday right across the way, right over there in the gym. And as I was there, again, sitting with a couple that is sitting down that I never talked to before, that I never met before, and just you know, doing those kinds of things that you do about where you live, what do you know, all those kinds of things. And the woman turned to me and said, you know, this is so nice. I didn't know. This is the myth. I didn't know that churches did this for outsiders. It's probably no surprise to any of you that are in this space, likely not any surprise whatsoever for anybody that may be watching online. When you come to a church, we know how to throw a dinner. We know how to throw a party. We know how to eat together. But for a great deal of people now who are a part of our lives, it is one of those understandings that oftentimes that when a church throws a dinner, when a church throws a party, that it's for those who are already inside the church. And I was able to sit across from that table and I was able to say, yes, this is something that we do for everybody. That's probably no shock to any of you. It's definitely not a shock to any of you that are in the room this morning. But you have heard me since I have been appointed here, and as I have become your pastor, it's no surprise to you that you've heard me talk about the Grace Point Way. Because I've gotten a lot of conversations. I've had many conversations, and they say, well, you, Eddie, you're the pastor now, so what do you want to do? And I said, well, just tell me. Just tell me a little bit. How do we do things at Grace Point? And they say, well, you're the pastor. Some of you are smiling because you and I have had this exact conversation about this. And so what I have said over and over is that what we are doing together is that we are part of the body of Christ. That Jesus Christ has called every single one of us to be in this space and to be here. And it is all of us that are working together that are able to be here and say. And so the Grace Point Way is something that I have been over and over trying to hear from as many of you as I could. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful to be able to say and to show the Grace Point Way to some people yesterday who came into our gym for the very first time. And another thing from yesterday that moved me from gratitude, that moved me from my capturing what I am grateful for, what I am thankful for, but also moved me to my prayers and to my prayer list, is that the same couple who said, you know what? It is a real struggle for us right now. And I believe that one of the biggest challenges that we have, to as much as we may understand that gratitude is good for us, that being thankful is good for us, I think that one of the biggest challenges that we have to gratitude is to be able to express thankfulness and gratitude when we are struggling and when we are disappointed, when things have not worked. Just think about it. How thankful are you able to be when you look? And you look around and you see your life and you notice that things haven't worked out right the way that you planned them. I mean, how can you be gracious in a moment like that in the worry and in the struggle? How can you be grateful? Well, that's what we're going to explore today. You know, last week we took this look at Jesus. Jesus encounters 10 men. They're suffering from a skin condition and offers healing to them. And it's miraculous because every one of these men, all 10 men, are healed. And they all went away. They went away because Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went and showed themselves to the priest, one of them noticed, well, something's happened. One of them noticed that on his way to go to see the priest, that healing had come into his life. He noticed that he was healed. He noticed that he was cured. It is what the Gospels remind us of as being made whole. He noticed that there was a transformation that happened in his life, and he turned back to Jesus, and he returned to Jesus to say thank you. And then Jesus is concerned. What about the other nine? Weren't there nine others? Are you the only one who has come back? Are you the only one who has returned to say thank you? Jesus was concerned because gratitude, being grateful, being thankful, gratitude changes our lives. Because what gratitude does is it has this possibility to lead us to fuller and richer lives and connects us with God's presence in our world in a way that there's not many other ways to get there. Which is why Jesus was concerned about the other nine. Because they were missing part of what God has created in each of them. And that part is gratitude. Imagine what happens in our spiritual connections. Imagine what happens in our connections with other people when we are grateful, when we experience gratefulness in our lives, when we lean into gratitude, when we cultivate those practices around gratitude, when we write down what we are grateful for, and we're specific and we're clear, we reflect on it. Imagine if we were able to do this when things got messed up. Imagine if we were able to be people who are gracious, people who are grateful when life hasn't turned out the way that we imagined, when we feel like we're behind and we're never going to catch up, when we don't feel happy, and when we look around and we have every reason to be happy and we don't just feel that joy in our lives. What happens when we find ourselves feeling lonely more times than we feel like we're connected to other people? Well, this is the heart of what Jesus is offering in this parable in Luke chapter 14. Imagine planning a huge meal and no one showing up for it. Our children voiced it this morning. They said, you know what? I would be sad. One of them even motioned, rubbing his eyes like he was crying. Imagine we find ourselves planning, we find ourselves cooking, we might find ourselves sending out invitations, and yet no one shows up. What happens? What happens when we offer the best of intentions and graciousness in our hearts, when we have cultivated it, when we have leaned into gratitude, when we, with the best of intentions, with gratitude in our hearts, what happens when we discover that gratitude doesn't shield us from disappointments? Well, this is when we have an opportunity. This is when we have this incredible opportunity to become curious about getting creative with gratitude. You see, if gratitude is a virtue that has been given to us by God, if we have been created by God to be people who are more gracious, there are no limits to how creative gratitude can become. Take, for example, this meal that Jesus is lifting up in Luke chapter 14. With engraved invitations, only the best of the best that are invited, only to be met with regret after regret. And unfortunately, we know that it's not just meals, right? We know that it's not only meals that cause disappointments in our lives. And yet Jesus uses a meal to show us the power of creative gratitude. This banquet that Jesus talks about, excuse after excuse follows. I bought a piece of property. I must go and inspect it. I bought 5 oxen. I'm eager to try them out. I've just gotten married and possibly can't come to your dinner right now. Notice the emotions that are there for the one who is prepared, the one who is planned, and the one who has even sent out invitations for the banquet. Notice the first response that this person has about people who have sent regret after regret. It's not graciousness, it's not thankfulness, it's not gratitude, is it? What is that first response? It's anger. Did you notice that? That as Jesus is telling this story, that as he begins to receive regret after regret after regret, it's anger that the owner of the house experiences in his own life. And as we have just expressed in our own prayer request, it is the kind of anger, the kind of rage, the kind of emotion that can lead us to do some, well, really dumb stuff in our lives, but it can also lead us to do some really serious violations of other people's space and other people's lives too. But he says, go at once. In the midst of anger, the owner of the house says, I want you to go at once. I will not be stood up. I will not be embarrassed by all of these regrets. I want you to go at once. Now remember, today is all about getting creative with gratitude. And often creativity, it takes time for many of us. It's at times a different mindset that even in the midst of anger, to get to that creative gratitude, it's going to take some shift in our minds. It's going to take that kind of transformation that, well, Jesus has promised us in our lives. And so this is what we see. We get to see this as in his anger, he says, I will not be stood up like this. You go at once. You go at once and invite. And notice. Notice in the midst of this anger, notice in the one that has been sent out, what's the response? Notice what happens then. Sir, I have done what you have asked, and there is still room. Now, I've done what you have asked, and there is still room at the table. There is still space that is here. And this is the really interesting part. Go into the lanes and the streets. Go into the lanes and the streets and invite all of them to come in so that my house may be filled. You know, there's this really interesting verse of scripture that comes at the end of a letter that the Apostle Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. This is going to be the next generation after Jesus. It's going to be the second generation after the disciples. But Paul is writing this letter to the Thessalonians who are trying to learn, what is this life with a resurrected Jesus? How do we live this life? What do we do with this life? And as Paul begins to come to the end of this letter that he's written to the Thessalonians, this is 1 Thessalonians, it's chapter 5, it's 16 through 18, the New Living Translation. And so Paul ends his letter. He's coming to the conclusion, not the exact end, but he's getting there. And he says, you Thessalonians, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Really good advice, right? Always be joyful, this is verse 16. Never stop praying, verse 17. And then, verse 18. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. That's the really interesting part. Be thankful in all circumstances because you are people. You are the very people who belong to Christ Jesus. You are people who belong to Jesus Christ. You are people who belong to Christ Jesus. So therefore, in all circumstances, be grateful, be thankful because you are people who belong to Christ Jesus. And what we get to see in this story that Jesus is offering of a man who has sent out invitations and yet no one on the invite list comes into his house, as we get to see gratitude emerging, even past the anger, even past the rage, we get to see gratitude emerging out of the abundance of what God has provided for this man and his table. And as people come in, well, he gives us these words that come at the end of Luke chapter 14, 24. For I tell you that none of those who were invited will taste my dinner. Imagine this kind of world. A world where the kingdom of God is filled with people around the table. The kingdom of God is filled with people who are in heaven. The kingdom of God, even here at our church at Grace Point, in this Grace Point way that we're moving on together, that it is filled with the kind of people who have been transformed by God, and yet we may have never imagined that this is the kind of people who will be part of God's kingdom. Maybe in our own lives, we remember that we perhaps were not the kind of person that God was going to call and God was going to equip and God was going to save and transform and forgive and redeem to be part of this kingdom that we are living together. You know, I told you that I am grateful for being able to sit at a table with a couple of strangers because of something that we have done. Of not only talked about having meals together, but also invited everyone to come into God's house and to have a wonderful Thanksgiving meal. And it was a wonderful Thanksgiving meal. And I was able to not only talk about the Grace Point Way, but I was able yesterday to be able to say, yeah, this is what we do together. This is what it looks like to live at Grace Point. This is what it looks like to have Jesus Christ at the center of Grace Point. But I will tell you that at the end of that meal, I was a bit surprised because I never have thought or never imagined that part of the Grace Point Way for your pastor is to find himself on a scaffold at the end of a meal with Bill Drake and trying to fit a light bulb into a sun that is out there. So I am discovering that even my own creativity, even my own imagination, that perhaps it goes well beyond what I've imagined the Grace Point Way being at this point. And let me tell you, that is another thing that I'm grateful for. That we are not limited by any single one of our own imaginations and our own creativity. But together as the body of Christ, as people who belong to Jesus Christ, that we can be thankful. And we can be grateful in all circumstances because we know the one who is truly leading us. And that is Jesus Christ, the one that we proclaim as Lord and Savior over our lives and also over our world. That's what I'm grateful for this morning. Let's bow our heads. Almighty and everlasting God, we are thankful to be in your house. And we pray that in the midst of holidays and in the midst of emotions that stir in each of us, we pray, O Lord, that we may feel your presence. That, Lord, where we may feel pain or discomfort, Lord, that you may heal us in those moments. And we also pray that as we continue to turn thanks to you, as we continue to offer thanks and gratitude to one another, Lord, continue to shape us and mold us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived, who died, and was raised again on the third day. For we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.